I'm so glad I know the God of the universe, but more importantly, I'm so glad that He knows me. He knows my name, He knows who I am, He knows what I need, and He knows who you are and what you need tonight. Amen. Amen. If you're a guest of ours, we want to welcome you. Hopefully, if you're here in person, you got one of these green connection cards. If you would, we're encouraging you just to fill out a few points of information. And if you will turn that into an usher or turn it in at the kiosk out in the vestibule, we have a small gift for you. We just want to let you know how much we appreciate your visit here. You may be seated. We also want to make everyone aware of our giving options. Oh, and by the way, if you're a guest online, we want to encourage you also to fill out the connection information there online and let us know. We want to follow up and show you our appreciation. You can give in the offering box that's in the at the kiosk out in the vestibule. You can mail in your offering, or you can go to our website and give through our church app called Church Center. So follow your directions there, and you're welcome to give in that manner. One major announcement, considering our Christmas schedule, which is hard to believe it's so close, but we're just a few weeks away from Christmas. We'll have a Christmas Eve service on December 19th at 10 a.m. Christmas Eve service on December 19th at 10 a.m. The kids will join with the families here in the main sanctuary. We'll have one service. Everyone will be here together at 10 a.m. Amen. All right, Christmas Eve service at 5 o'clock on Friday, December 24th. And then our regular Sunday services on December 26th. So the special Christmas service on the 19th, Christmas Eve service on the 24th at 5 o'clock. And then on Sunday, December 26th, the day after Christmas, our normally scheduled services. But there will be no midweek service on December 29th. The offices will be closed. We're just taking the week off altogether. And then New Year's Eve service will be here, hosted by Voces Unidas and African International Ministries. Amen. On Friday, December 31st at 8 o'clock. Fellowship at home, or come here and join with Voces Unidas and AIM for New Year's Eve service. And that will be a great time, a great blessing. Praise God. All right. Stand, if you would. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Praise God. It's so nice to come into the house of the Lord and feel the peace of God's presence, to feel the love of God's people, to be in this place. We have been challenged at times to do that, and we've been limited sometimes in our ability to do that. So let's not forget what a great blessing it is to be here in the house of God. And let's continue to pray for those that we know are struggling with sickness. A number of members of our congregation have come through COVID recently. Some have been recently exposed to it. We want to pray for them. Just pray for our community. Pray for our state, our nation. Our world needs Jesus, and we are the ones that have what they need. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the love of God that surpasses our understanding and goes beyond what we have in our own nature. We thank you, God, for the presence of God that we can feel here tonight. I pray, Lord, let each of us be renewed in your faith, O God. Be renewed, O God, in our understanding of your love for us, so that we can be better messengers of that love to the world around us, so that they can see that there's a living God and that there is a Savior whose name is Jesus. We pray for your blessing on this service tonight, and for your anointing upon our pastor as he brings the word of the Lord, for your anointing upon our hearts and minds to receive the word of God. We pray for those so many, Lord, that are close to us and are represented by the people here tonight who are battling with sickness and illness. in this hour. In Jesus' name, let healing flow even from our hands and our lips and our hearts so that there may be a touch of God manifest even in this moment, Lord God, for hundreds, even thousands that may come to mind. In the name of Jesus, we claim this. We release the word of God, and we believe, oh God, that you are able to do this because you are everywhere all the time, and you are with us here and now. And we give you the praise and the glory in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I feel it in the pool. Holy Spirit, move. Because when you have your way, something has to break. Tear down every lie. Set the wrong thing right. Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Something has to break. Ooh, something has to break. I feel it in this room. Holy Spirit, when you have your way, something has to break. Tear down every lie, set the wrong thing right. 'Cause when you have your way, something has to break. Something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name.
When you have your way, something has.
you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Looking big, miracle works, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Looking big, miracle works, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Presence in this place tonight. Since we're all standing, if you have your Bibles with you, thank you so much to our worship team, Sister Sarah. I've talked a little bit, encouraged some of our young folks to read the book of Proverbs. We're going to be talking from the book of Proverbs tonight, just a very simple Bible study, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, and I'm reading the English Standard Version. It says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. I want to just spend a few minutes tonight, and then next week we're going to finish this up. I want to talk about the cost of delay, the cost of delay. And we're going to be talking about spiritual maintenance, spiritual maintenance. You can be seated. I shared some of these points with our staff a few weeks ago, and I began to think about this more, and God just kind of began to lay some things on my heart. I don't know if we're getting into the Christmas season. Some of you may have your Christmas shopping all done already. Maybe some of you haven't even started yet. That's always a possibility. I found out myself that I don't even have to go out shopping anymore. I can just go online and I can order things and they deliver it right to the door within a couple days. And if I don't like it, I can just send it back, or I can say, well, it's not mine anyway. I'm giving it away. So that's a little joke. Everybody uptight tonight? But with those, if you go to Menards, I do a lot of shopping at Menards. And I'll buy tools from Menards, but they always ask if I would like to purchase a maintenance plan. How many of you have ever been, I don't want to say suckered into, but it's kind of, you know, when you buy a sheet of plywood, I don't need a maintenance plan with it. If I buy nails and screws, they don't ask you. But if you buy a drill or a humidifier or a snowblower or some kind of a table saw, or they always want to sell you the maintenance plan. And usually it's something like 3 years is, you know, $65 or $69, and 2 years is $48.99, and 1 year is $29.99. And I always ask, what is the manufacturer's warranty on this? Because the manufacturer should warranty it for, you know, sometimes it's 90 days, sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's 5 years. So why do I want to buy a 3 year plan when I can just bring the thing back? And I found that out because I bought a Sears Sawzall, and I burnt it out like within a few hours of using it. It was a cordless. And I thought, well, maybe there's something wrong with it. So we took it back. They gave me a brand new one. And I burnt that one out. And I took it back, and I'm on my third one. And this one seems to be holding up a little bit better. But I would have hated to known that I paid $75 or so for something that I would just get for free anyway. So the maintenance plans, and I don't know how you are or how things work at your home, but over the past month or so, it's kind of been in a rush to get all sorts of things, projects done before the inevitable happens. And that is, you wake up one morning and there's a foot of snow on the ground and you still don't have your snowplow or your tire chains on your snowblower, and you're out there in the frigid 20 below zero cold weather. How many of you has that ever happened to? Am I the only one that's out there in the cold and the snow putting on chains or putting on a blade on a four-wheeler because I didn't do it 2 weeks earlier when we had some 55-degree weather? So over the last month, I've been stacking wood. We buy our firewood from Jim and Tanya Rocket, and he brings it out in a Mack dump truck. And he dumps it out right on the side of our house, and we have this big, huge pile of wood. And it doesn't just stack itself. I wish it would, but it doesn't. And you also, you know, you have those areas in the yard where I have areas where that leaves pile up. I had a drift going around the backside of my house that was all leaves. And I'm like, if I don't get these up now, it sits there all winter long, and then in the spring, they're all rotting and they're all frozen, and they're a whole lot harder to pick up and move and sweep and chop up and burn after they've been sitting there all season long. So you have your lawnmower that you have to put away. You have to put gas in the tank, you know, stable. How many of you do that? It's a good thing to do, because if you don't, then in the spring, after it's been sitting for, I don't know who's turning the lights on and off here, but it's, I'm not quite for sure because I don't see anybody at the switches. Is that you back there in the sound booth? It's just happening? It's a little guy. Oh! It's those little gremlins. I was just looking, I'm like, there's nobody at the light switches, but you got one. Okay. So So you have your garage. I mean, our garage, we couldn't have parked a car in it if we wanted to. And you got to clean your garage out. How many of you cleaned your garages out yet before snow flies? Some of you are up on all of this. So sort out all that clutter. You got, you know, it's a good time to clean your car. And it's a good time to take and find that snow brush that's stashed somewhere in your garage. My wife and I, we were looking, and I'm like, I don't know where it's at. It's somewhere. And she comes up with a whole handful of them. I got to choose. I got to select which one I wanted. So you sort out all. So as a homeowner, I've learned over the years to accept and even anticipate that as long as I live in Wisconsin, there's going to be snow and there's going to be cold. And the winter is going to come, Sister Raquel, whether you are ready for it or not. She's freezing already, and we haven't really, we're still technically in fall. We got another 20 days, 15 days to go before we hit winter. But winter is going to come. And it's these everyday annoyances. See, if it's not a wood pile, if you don't burn and you don't use wood in your home, and if it's not a wood pile, if it's not a snowblower, if it's not a lawnmower, listen, it's always going to be something at your home, at your condo, in your apartment that's going to need maintenance. So when I look at this, it's always going to be something in my home that is going to need attention. Now, some of it, and this is how it works, some of it, it's just minor. It's minor issue. But if we don't take care of that minor issue, then it becomes a little bit more of a severe, something that requires immediate attention. I was just talking before service with a couple here that purchased the Teshes that purchased a home in Marshall. Congratulations, by the way. And they were talking about how they have a problem, a maintenance issue with their downstairs toilet in their basement. We've all had, it's always the downstairs toilet because it doesn't get used a lot. I mean, how many of you just run downstairs to use a basement toilet? You're going to use what's closest, what's most convenient. So it's those downstairs toilets that are always needing maintenance or having maintenance issues. And their downstairs toilet needs a little bit of maintenance. So we talked about that a little bit, and right now it's just a maintenance issue. But if a week or two or a month or so goes by and he doesn't correct that maintenance issue, then it's going to become a flooded basement. And when a toilet overflows, it's not fresh, cool, potable water that typically overflows from our toilets. Being a plumber for many years, I have seen everything come out of a toilet, from Sears sockets to Hot Wheels to unmentionables that just are disgusting. Don't look at me that way. We all know. You all know what I'm talking about. I tell people, this is for free, okay? You can turn the camera off or. As long as people eat, what comes in goes out. And I've been to doctors that are proctologists at the hospital, and I've talked with them. We've had some good, humorous conversations. I said, you take care of it while it's in the body, and I take care of it when it gets out of the body. That's just how it works. So flooded basement can become disastrous if it is not corrected. So that little maintenance issue can become a serious. Brother Rivest is an electrician, and I'm sure that if you went into a home and the homeowner, you say, you know, every time I turn this light switch on, sparks fly out of it. Is this a problem? It's not supposed to do that. Not designed to do that. Every time those sparks fly, there's a potential of a fire. So every time you, so that's something that you just shouldn't ignore and say, well, I'll deal with it, you know, and oh, it, when the weekend comes. So when you look at all of these, I look at my wood pile. There's plenty of things and maintenance items in our homes that need to be addressed. Some can be delayed. Some can be ignored for weeks or for even months. But if you're truly honest, no matter how illogical it may be, there's a small part of all of us that believes that if we just ignore these maintenance problems, if we just ignore our check engine light on our car, that one day when we start it up, the check engine light won't be on anymore and our problem has gone away. It's just because it's been on so long, the bulb has burnt out, but your problem hasn't gone away. But we think that way, don't we? We do. That's why we drive around with, I didn't realize this, I drove around with the battery light on my vehicle. You got a little button you can push and it goes off, but it's been for 2 years. And I thought, well, that's just part of it, I guess. You get in, it says low battery, I don't know. Car starts fine. I had to put a new battery in it. I went in for maintenance for an oil change. Cost me a lot more than an oil change. I had a vacation. I paid for the mechanic's vacation, I think, in my oil change. But I ended up with a new battery, and they're not cheap anymore. My goodness, that's expensive to have a battery. And all of a sudden, my battery alarm went off. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's... it's a maintenance issue. So when we look at this, temptation of delayed maintenance extends into every area of our lives. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll put it off. I'll take care of it tomorrow. I don't have time today. So just as my snowplow is not going to put itself on, my wood pile, my wife's not going to pile it, stack it, you know, it's not going to stack itself. Neither will we grow in faith and virtue apart from a disciplined devotion and intentional steps towards growing and maturing in Jesus Christ. You see, as we're reminded in Proverbs that a slack hand, a lazy person, giving time, will become poor and impoverished. Why? Because nothing gets done. Their house roof leaks. Their car's broken down all the time due to poor maintenance. The only thing that's going to change these issues in our lives is that we have to change how we live our lives. Remember I talked about this just, I mentioned this twice now in our past messages. We want the world to change, but we want everybody else to change. We don't want to change. This is where personal change comes in. I have to change. It's my car. I have to fix those issues. It's not Martha Chernikowski's responsibility to fix my car. It's mine. Sometimes we feel like it's everybody else's responsibility to fix us. It's our responsibility, my responsibility. So this requires a constant obedience to the Lord. This requires a decisive action, and it requires direct intervention. Something we don't like to always look at, but it requires direct intervention, identifying the places in our hearts and our lives that are in disrepair and bringing them to the Lord. You see, if I have a problem with a maintenance issue in my home and I can't fix it, I'm going to call somebody that can fix it. If I can't fix my plumbing, I will call my son-in-law or I will call Jeff Rossing to fix it. I had to fix my furnace. I'm not a furnace man. I'm not an air conditioner man. So I've had Kelvin Wells and Jeff Neeson work on my furnace and air conditioning. I took my car in to get it oil changed because I'm not a mechanic. I used to be. I used to be able to figure that stuff out. Now you got to have computers to talk to your cars. I don't do well with computers. I stay away from that now. I've learned. After you put $200 or $300 worth of parts in something and nothing changes, you learn real fast. So these are the same things. If we have an internal issue inside here, this is just year-end maintenance. This is just good year-end maintenance tonight. If I got things that are wrong in here or in here, I need to go to a person that I know can fix them or help me. And that's where we need to turn to the Lord. We need healing. We need renewal. Listen, there are people here tonight, whether you're here in person or online, that started 2021 with a list of maintenance issues in our lives. That's what we call New Year's resolutions, by the way. Most of our New Year's resolutions revolve around things we want to fix in our life. We want to lose weight. We want to exercise more. We want to read our Bible more. We have all of these things that we start off the new year with, and we're excited about them. We're going to fix some of these maintenance issues in our lives. February rolls around, March rolls around, and not so much anymore. And all of those go by the wayside. Here we are at the end of the year, and we're thinking about next year, and we get on the scale, and we look at the scale, and we're like, ugh, I put on 4 more pounds this year, so now my goal is even further away. You see, I'm not a prophet, okay, by any means, but I would say that many of us that have some fixing to do in our personal lives that we know we need fixing on, that we have plugged gutters, we've got loose shingles, we've got a check engine light, because that becomes kind of habit to us, becomes part of our character, and it shows up in all areas of our lives. So we're looking at the broken gutter, the loose shingle, the sink. We have attitude issues all year long. We haven't corrected any of these. We've dealt with them. In fact, in some cases, perhaps they've gotten worse. So we have attitude issues. We hate it that we got to come to church and wear a mask. We're going to let everybody know we hate it. You know, I hate it too. I got a whole message coming that's just going to be devoted to some of these issues. It's not a hill. It's not a hill. This is the title of the message. This is not a hill I'm willing to die on. I don't care. In the scope of everything else going on, I don't care. Just get over yourself. We have bitterness, attitude issues, bitterness towards a family member. Amazes me. Some folks can't even get together for Thanksgiving and Christmas because they can't get along as a family. There's too many differences. So church, our inattention to home repairs, they may be seemingly easy when they're small and insignificant, but yet given enough time, they're going to inevitably grow in their severity and in their significance. So when you look at a garage door that needs repaired after a time of disrepair and always trying to cobble things together, and after a while you need a whole entire new garage door. So something that's a few $100 on a spring now becomes $1,200, $1,500, $2,000 because you wouldn't fix it. Simply put, the longer the delay, this is just simple stuff. This is so simple, but we just fall into it all the time, don't we? The longer the delay, the higher the cost, the higher the stakes become. So I want to challenge you tonight, before the end of the year, fix it. Just fix it. It doesn't take months and years. I've sat down with a to-do list and been amazed at how quick. I bought I'm telling on myself. My wife and I, we were in Shiloh in May of this year, before Memorial Day, somewhere around the 16th, 17th, 18th. I bought 5 shrubs. I just planted them 2 days ago. I had to get a crowbar out and pick through the frozen ground, but I'm like, I'm putting those things in the ground before it snows. Let's see, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. 8 months it took me to plant those shrubs, and it didn't even take me an hour once I started it. Why? I just kept putting it off. Putting it off. I'm like, I'm going to sit out here and it's going to be January and them things are going to be sitting in pots on the back porch. Got to fix it. Got to do it. Got to get in there. Get my gloves. Go get me a wheelbarrow. All of those things. It's a whole lot harder planting a shrub when it's, what was it, 2 days ago when it was windy and 20 degrees out. The wind was blowing like 45 mile an hour. Cars flying overhead and trucks. Here I am. I could have done this when I was sunny and 70 and been drinking lemonade. Now I'm freezing to death. My hands are cold. Everything's cold. And there's no hot chocolate to be found. It's not my wife's fault. It's just the cost of delay. It's my fault. So in our own lives, we cannot ignore the spiritual maintenance needs of our lives. Just a little stuff, church. It's just a little stuff. The sin. I was thinking of this today. We're talking about lying. Is lying really a really bad sin? Is it really? I think about that. I thought about that today. Is lying a really bad sin? People say, well, am I really going to go to hell over one lie? Well, I don't know if you're going to go to hell over one lie. It depends upon whether or not you repent for that one lie. But I can take you in Scripture and show you and prove to you where that a couple in the New Testament church were struck dead because they lied. So when we want to make heaven or hell issues out of everything, I can't get up here and make heaven and hell issues out of every little thing that goes on in our lives, but I can show you where that at some point in the New Testament church, this wasn't like the Old Testament where they stoned people. This is a New Testament church where the God looks down and says, huh, Ananias and Sapphira, you're out of here. And it wasn't that bad. They didn't even have to lie, Brother Seidel. If you don't know the story, they sold some belongings. Everybody was selling stuff. And they were giving the money to the church. So a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, they sold some stuff. They didn't have to say, well, Brother Peter, you know, we sold our property. And we thought that maybe we would just keep a little bit in case we, you know, we're struggling with faith. Maybe I mean, you know, who knows? There's all kinds of it wasn't a requirement that they do it. They weren't ordered. It's not like Peter got up and said, "Everybody, go sell your stuff and bring your money into my feet." No, they just sold it. Taking the money in, and Peter says, well, is this it? Well, yeah, that's all of it. Peter probably thought, wow, they had some nice property downtown, right on the corner. Had an extra lot. They only got $25,000 for it. Whoa. Man, Brother Ananias, you should have waited. You got ripped off. But did you sell it? Yeah. This is it. Every last dime. That's where the problem came in. So when you look at some of these little maintenance issues in life, little maintenance issues, little lies, little sins, we like to categorize that, don't we? When we lie, it's like, well, you know, it's just a little one. When the president lies, it's like, whoa. We like to blow it all up. We like to make big deal out of it. There are times that I've said things and I misspoke, and later I'm like, you know, that really wasn't exactly the order in which things happened. And you're like, ah, so what? Then you later find out somebody else is talking about the story, and after a while it's like, yeah, I probably should go back and make some corrections on this. Sometimes we just got to make those corrections, because sin and sickness that's left unchecked, those little maintenance things that aren't fixed, if left unchecked, those seeds, I had a tree growing in my gutter. I never even noticed it. I went up on my roof and I thought, I need to clean some stuff off the roof. And I get up there and I got a tree this tall growing out of my gutter. It didn't just start growing yesterday. It's been there a while. It had to germinate. It had to be watered and fed. And it had to have something to grow in. But see, our lives become that way. We have seeds of lust that grows. It's just a little bit. It's not anything major. It's just a little bit. And then after a while, those seeds begin to grow and they begin to attach themselves to us. Lust can do that. But anger can do that. I know some individual has some serious anger issues. Serious anger issues. What happens? That's a maintenance issue that has gone unchecked in our lives. It's that simple. It's not anything. He's got a spirit of anger. Oh yeah, it's grown. It wasn't always that way. Bitterness, jealousy. Given time, all of these little things, little maintenance issues, if they're not taken care of when they're little, after a while, they become big. If I just let that tree grow in my gutter, after a while, it's going to develop a network of roots. It may never grow out of my gutter, but it'll add so much weight to it that it starts to pull the gutter out from the house. Then you start to get water behind the gutter. Then you start to get an ice dam. And then it starts to build up, and the ice dam begins to push up under the shingles. And 2 or 3 years down the road, I've got rotted plywood, and I go into my office, and I look up in the ceiling, and water's coming out of a light fixture. I'm like, what's going on here? How did this happen? It happened because I had a little tiny tree that I could have just went up there and plucked it out and scooped the leaves out of the gutter, and I let it go. And now I got a roof that's leaking, I got plywood that's rotted, I got shingles that need to be replaced, all simply because of a little bitty insignificant seed that I let grow. And you see, we can let these things, insignificant things that are easily controllable, we can let them threaten to overtake and eventually will dominate our entire life. And we will go from 1 year to the next year to the next year to the next year, and it will continue to grow, and we will never be able to get outside or break away. So every area of our life, we need to seek to adjust. We need to modify and improve. We need to fix what is broken and fix it right away. Fix it now so rot doesn't set in. Because when spiritual rot sets in, it's just us tonight. Have you ever been around a spiritually rotten Christian? Man, I hate to say it, but everything stinks about them. We can really stink sometimes when we're rotten. Thank you, Brother Rossi. We can really stink sometimes, folks, when we get rotten. But it doesn't have to be that way. So How do we get away from this? How do we fix these things in our lives? Well, you know, we could do a seminar on how to fix things in your home. But it's really something so very simple as submitting ourselves every day to the Word of God. We hate hearing that, though, don't we? Because we don't like to submit to anything. The Israelites were like, oh, we've never been. They're in Roman bondage, and they're telling Jesus, we've never been enslaved to any man. Duh. How dumb. You're in Roman bondage right now, and you have been for 100 years or more. But you see, we submit. We submit by staying in the Word. Now, to counter our maintenance issues, we have to fix those maintenance issues. So, the simplest way to fix a maintenance issue in your life is to open up a how-to-fix manual. Some of us, we look at the old car manuals, the old Chilton manuals. Remember that, guys? If you're in the 80s mechanic gearhead, you knew that. Now everybody just goes to YouTube. There's repair. I mean, there's stuff I have no idea how to fix, but I go to YouTube. My wife and I, we bought a windshield for the back of our snowplow because it's kind of cold. And I'm like, I'm kind of tired of this. It's just the wind blows and the snow and blows over the cab. And let's put a window in the back so that doesn't happen. And I couldn't figure out. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I got far more bolts and holes than I have places to put it all. And I'm like, something's not it. So I go on YouTube. Boy, right there. This is how you do it. Oh, okay. I got it. That's simple enough. So maybe you say, well, you know, Pastor, I like to go to the Word. Okay? But sometimes I'm not always for sure where to go. You ever been that way? You ever been there? So I tell people, they're like, how do you know this stuff? Well, it's called Google. Used to have Strong's concordances, and I mean, you had like, they're like this thick, but you know what? I can't really carry that around in my back pocket everywhere I go. So during the day, sometimes I get phone calls, I get text messages. Hey, Pastor, you talked about this. How do you find that? Well, let me see. Let me just pull over here. I'll get back with you. I pull over and I get my phone out, and I'm like, well, let me see here. What can I do to help? There's nothing, that's not a sin, by the way, okay? I'm just telling you, it's not a sin to look up scriptures on repentance, okay? Sometimes you just got to read between the lines and spit out the garbage, okay? But nevertheless, there's a lot of good ways. So submit ourselves by staying in the Word. And if you don't know how to find something, look it up. We just spoke on Sunday of God's Word for Life, and next Sunday, Brother Peter Sandin is going to actually show us and demonstrate. And I'm excited about this on Sunday because this is going to be something that's going to really help us in our lives, not only with our maintenance issues, but the maintenance issues of our families. Your kids have bikes. They require maintenance. It becomes the father's responsibility most of the time. Spiritually, we're going to show you how to handle some of these things. So you could pray about a book. I encouraged all of our young folks to read the book of Proverbs. I encouraged all of us to read the book of Proverbs. A theme, a particular reading plan. There are so many available Bible reading devotions and reading plans out there. There are hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. You can have partners. I can tell when Brother Darren Sistrunk, which is the Neesum's son-in-law, I can tell when he's completed his Bible reading because I get an email. Because years ago, we decided that we're going to have an accountability partner. So Darren Sistrunk has completed his Bible reading. We commit. We commit to things. So we could pray about a book or a theme and immerse yourself into it. You have those maintenance issues? Look in the Word. Look in the manual. Figure it out. Fix it. If you don't know how to fix it or you can't figure it out, then that's where we go to one another. We don't have a problem. Well, we don't go to the phone book anymore. I mean, how many people actually use a phone book? How many people actually have a phone in their house anymore? A landline. Our insurance guy came by today and he gave us a calendar. One of those little desk calendars. And I'm like, okay, this kind of went by the way of the phone book and the rotary dial phone now. Everything you do, it's all digital. But we commit by staying in fellowship and being accountable to one another. It amazes me sometimes how accountable we will be to a boss man and to a job, but we won't be accountable to one another at church or to a pastor. First Thessalonians 5:11 in the English Standard Version tells us, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. You see, the body of Christ is so interconnected. God designed it this way. He didn't design us that when we're saved, that we're saved and we can go out and we're solitude creatures. You go out, you do your own thing, you live your life, you worship Him, you have your own little temple, your own little worship. He didn't design us that way. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together. So all of you that are staying away from COVID because of COVID, it says, let us not give up on meeting together. If we can go to a soccer game, we can come to church. The longer you use these things, and I want to cover this more coming up, but the longer we use these things as an excuse, the more it becomes a habit. And after a while, yeah, if the only church you're getting is online, there's already issues. Just want to throw that out there. So let us not give up meeting together, even if COVID's going on, as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, which means all the more as you see the day coming closer and closer and closer to the coming of Jesus. See, we're interconnected. The same Spirit, the same blood that flows through your veins as a Spirit-filled Christian flows through mine. We have the same Father. We have the same spiritual DNA. So it's our duty. It's our spiritual duty to build one another up. I've been around this for a long time, and we've known those people that feels like it's their spiritual duty to correct everybody about everything. I feel that it's a whole lot better if I can take and lead you to correction and allow you to figure it out for yourself. Because when that something clicks in your own mind, it usually clicks for life. But if I always got to clean your room up because you won't clean it up, you're never going to learn to clean up your room. And I'm going to end with this story. You can stand. It's a little humorous. I remember when my daughter was 4, maybe 5 years old. Well, you all know my daughter now is Lana Renvick. She is like a, I don't know where it all, well, I think I know the roots of it, but she is like organized, like really organized. Now, my wife is very organized. I'm organized most of the time, but I struggle at times. When Lana was 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, my wife was working full time at Oscar Mayer, and she'd come home, and Lana would pull all of her toys out. And I mean, she just like dumped them everywhere. And my wife would have to go in and pick all that stuff up and put it all back into little containers. The next day it would happen. And I remember one Saturday, my wife's in there. She's arguing with Lana about picking your toys up. And I just went in and I said, I should spank both of you. Spank you for arguing with a five-year-old and spank the five-year-old for not doing what mommy tells you to do. I'm tired of my wife spending her time every Saturday in your room cleaning up your mess. Now, I'm your pastor. But the messes you make are your responsibility as an individual to clean up. It's not my responsibility to clean up your mess. That's where we have to become accountable. We don't want accountability. We want to do our own things. So I ordered both of them out of the bedroom. And I went in there with a huge, giant trash bag. And everything that was on the floor, I put in the trash bag. And I carried it out the door. And I told Lana, I'm going to throw this away. And anything I find on your floor at the end of the day is going into a trash bag. And you will never see it again. Fast forward 25 years almost. 20 years, 25 years. We're moving. I took those trash bags, there was actually two of them, and I took them out, put them in the top of my storage shed, and literally forgot they even existed. 20 plus, 25 years later, we're moving, and there's two trash bags on the top of this storage shed, and I'm like, what in the world? Why would I throw trash bags up there? I pull them trash bags out and open them up, and it was all Alana's toys. Some of them were collector stuff now. Beanie Babies and Land of Dinosaur. Remember that Land of Time? All those little dinosaurs? I had a whole collection of them things, man. In pristine condition. Hardly ever used. Oh, we can chuckle about this stuff, but this is how life happens to us sometimes. We just let trash build up. Every now and then, God has to just come in and say, all right, let's clean house. Let's clean some house here. So in our lives, and this, as I said, this is just year-end, simple reminders of things that we just let. I don't know what it is in your life that needs maintenance tonight. But I just want us, as we close out, we're getting so close to the end of the year. I know we got a little ways to go yet, but I want us to just spend a little time tonight. Just saying, okay, Lord, what is it? What is it in my life that I just need some simple maintenance issues? I check engine lights on. Lord, we may not even know. Did you know that? When my check engine light comes on, I have no idea what the problem is. It's not until I take it to a mechanic and he scans my vehicle that he tells me. Sometimes we don't even know we have an attitude problem until we talk to the Lord. And the Lord says, well, a little attitude issue going on here. So I'm just going to open up this altar. If you want to sit in your pew, that's totally fine. But I just want us to spend a few moments tonight saying, okay, Lord, point out to me, show me, Lord, what is it? What do I need maintenance on? I don't want to delay. It's too costly to delay. I don't want something to build up and cause me to lose out on eternity because I wouldn't fix it when it was small. So as Sister Sarah sings, I just want to invite you tonight for a time of prayer. God bless you.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ.
You. Sometimes it's just making a little maintenance list. I got a list at home of all the little maintenance things I got to fix around my house. Some of them it's seasonal. Some of it doesn't matter. It just needs to be fixed. So I want to encourage you as we close out this year, just do a little soul searching. Say, Lord, what is it? What is it I need to work on? What is it I need to fix? And then fix it. Just fix it. So just a reminder, Sunday morning, I'll be speaking the first session, and Brother Peter Sandin will be speaking the second session. He'll be introducing us literally to God's Word for Life, so you don't want to miss it. I encourage you all to be here. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.